Okay, sit down. Let's get started. I'm ready. Let's go. All right. Take your Bible, if you would, and look at Genesis chapter 47. I hope you come to study your Bible tonight. If you're looking for some funny story, I don't have one, all right? Genesis chapter 47, and I want to jump right in tonight so we get through what we need to look at tonight. I was just thinking about back in the days with your first building, and I was thinking you guys got a new tarp out there, amen? That's kind of nice out there. A little bit more sophisticated. If you don't know what that means, we'll wake you up when the service is over and everything will be good. Genesis 47, good to be here tonight. Good to see what you're doing. And I want to show you a little thought tonight, and it's going to be more studying, maybe more teaching than preaching, and that'll be fine. Look at Genesis 47, and notice, if you would, verse number five. And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, Thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee in the best of the land. Make thy father and brethren to dwell in the land of Goshen. So when Joseph's, all his brothers, all his kinfolk, if you would, came into the land, Pharaoh said, I want you all to be in the best of the land. And he gave them the land of Goshen, G-O-S-H-E-N. Look at, if you would, Exodus chapter 8 real quick. Exodus 8, you're doing well. And when God began to bring the judgment upon the Egyptians, I want you to see what God said in Exodus chapter 8. And notice verse 22. Exodus 8, verse 22. And notice what he says. And I will sever in that day the land of what? Say it, everybody. Say it again. Goshen. He said, I'm going to sever. I'm going to make a distinction. I'm going to make a separation. I will sever in that day the land of Goshen in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I would have put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. And if you know what happens, the flies come in to the land of Egypt, but in Goshen there are no flies. Nothing going on bad in Goshen, because God said, I'm going to make a distinction and a separation that they may know that I am the Lord. Look at chapter 9 real quick, chapter 9. And notice verse 3. Behold, the hand of the Lord is upon the cattle which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, the camels, the oxen, upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain, meaning a disease. And the Lord shall, say the next word, sever. There's going to be a distinction. There's going to be a separation between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt. And there shall nothing die in all that is in the children of the children of Israel. So here's what happened. The next day, the big murrain started, if you would, and everything started to die, all the livestock in Egypt. But in Goshen, nothing died, because God said that they may know that I am the Lord thy God. Look at Exodus chapter 9 again. And look in chapter 9 and notice, if you would, verse 24. Verse 24, everybody all right? Say amen. Amen. Verse 24, so there was hail and fire mingled with the hail. Very grievous, such as there was none like it in the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt. All that was in the field, an agricultural-based society. This hail came down in great magnitude and began to destroy all the fields. And anybody in the field, both man and beast, and the hail smote every herb of the field, break every tree of the field. I mean, the thing was devastated. Only in the land of where? Say it. Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. Why? Because God says, I'm going to sever. I'm going to make a distinction that they may know that I'm God. And look at chapter 10. In chapter 10, look verse 21. 10, verse 21. The Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand upon heaven, toward heaven, that there may be the darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. I remember years ago, I went 2 miles down into the earth, and we were in a cave, and they turned off the lights, and you couldn't even see your hand, and you could feel the darkness. And Moses stretched forth his hand, verse 22, towards heaven. There was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt. 3 days they saw not one another. For 3 days no one saw one another. Notice, neither rose any from his place. Nobody moved for 3 days in Egypt. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwelling. You know, it was all dark over in Egypt, but in Goshen, everything was going on as normal. Let me make a statement to you. The economy does not stop the local church. Just because AIG and all the banks are falling apart doesn't mean we can't still go forward. Because what happens in Egypt doesn't have to happen at the church. In fact, if I were you for the next couple of years as you get into this thing where you're going to knock some houses down, Lord willing, and build up a building, even though you're called Pacific Baptist Church, maybe you should just call it Goshen Baptist Church for a while. Because it can still go on here. God can still bless his people. There may be flies out here, but there don't have to be flies in Goshen. I mean, the cattle may die out there, but the cattle don't have to die for us. Are you still with me? It may hail out there and destroy the crops, but it can be fine in Goshen. Our crops can go just fine. And it may make darkness over there, but there's a whole lot of light going on where we are at. And God could do that just to say, I just want to show you. I mean, can't you see the neighbors and say, you guys are going through this building program and building project. And I know the neighbors have been fairly supportive, if you would. But isn't it something that a church, free will giving, right in the middle of an economic crisis, starts tearing down houses and raises up this huge building? Why? That they may know that the Lord thy God is still on the throne, amen? I mean, I think it could happen. I believe in that stuff. I think it's perfect time to build a church. I think it's perfect time to build a building. And I don't think we ought to look at the economy and wonder about whether we can or not. I want to show you a little principle, and I want you to listen very carefully. It's one you've seen before, but notice if you would, I want you to see now in Exodus chapter 12, watch this little thought, and with Exodus chapter 12, would you pick up Luke chapter 6? Exodus 12 and Luke chapter 6. Because there was something more that God did than just having the Egyptians without light, and when the flies over there, and the cattle murrain, and everything dying over there, and the great plagues that happened over in Egypt while nothing was going wrong in Goshen. Exodus 12, Luke chapter 6. In Exodus 12, watch what happens. You're familiar with it. Look at verse 35. The children of Israel did according to the word of Moses. And they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment. Watch verse 36. And the Lord gave the people, say it. Say it again. Favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required. And they spoiled the Egyptians. We all understand that when Moses went out in the wilderness, he took an offering. The offering he took came from the Egyptians through the hands of the Israelites. Would you agree with that? Verse 36. And the Lord gave the people, say it. And may I say this, the principle was, as the Egyptians saw that there were flies and no flies, and cattle dying and no cattle dying, and hail and no hail. Don't you think they noticed? And darkness and no and light. They were glad to get rid of the Israelites. You don't have to worry about the world and us. God can make a big enough distinction that the world will get a little bit of afraid of us. Not because of who we are, not because of we do anything to threaten them. In fact, we're to love them. But they'll know that there's a distinction. And God can give us favor, and men will give into our bosom. Are you still with me? And that's just not for missionaries. And that's just not for pastors. Some of you are going to the building banquet and say, I don't have anything to give. Look at Luke chapter 6. Stay with me. You're doing well. You say, Brother Fisher, where's the fun? Where's the games? This is serious business. Luke chapter 6. Now watch this principle. And you know it already. You've heard it. But watch it. Verse 6, chapter 6. Look at verse 38. It says this. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. You say, I got this memorized. Good. Then read it. Pressed down. Shaken together. Running over. Underline the next little phrase. Shall say it, men give into your bosom. And then it says, with the same measure that you meet, whatever you measure out, it'll be measured to you again. You say, where will it come from? God will give you favor, and God will make you look good, and it'll come your way. And it will come through people that give it to you. Might be your company that gives it to you. Might come in an unusual way. But the idea was, God made it to where it hailed over there, but not over there. It flies over there, but not over there. I mean, the cattle died over there, but not over there. And when it was time to come, and they said, we are supposed to spoil the Egyptians said, just take it. Get out. We're tired of the trouble. We know that the trouble we have is because of you. And we want you gone. And men gave into their bosom. Same God today, brethren. Same God today. You know, this is an amazing church. If you don't know that, you are stupid. This is an amazing church. Did I say that right? This is an amazing church. Because God has done things with you all, and you all don't have it to give. But he still does it. And he keeps on doing it. And you give, and God has a way of giving back so you can give again. And God makes a distinction in you somehow, and you come in with a big blessing. But it's because God gives us favor. But we are to give, and believing that others will come and give to us so we can again turn and give again. You've been studying the book of Ezra a little bit, haven't you? You guys probably have Ezra memorized by now. Come on, is that right? Let's go to Ezra 1 real quick. Pop over there real quick. Stay right with me now. Ezra chapter number 1. Ezra chapter number 1, watch what happens. Ezra 1. And by the way, I just come to give you some scriptures tonight. And I'll give you some thoughts. Ezra chapter 1. And notice, you know the story. I'm sure you've all the years that you've had on stewardship here. Look at verse 3. Who is there among you of all this people? His God be with him. Let him go up. So some were going up, if you would. Verse 4. And whosoever remaineth, those that are not going up in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him, the ones that are going up with silver and with gold and with goods. And then it says this, verse number 5, watch it. It says, then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah, Benjamin the priest, and all the Levites with all them whose spirit God has raised to go up. Certain were stirred to go up. Verse 6, and all they that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver and with gold. The idea is some go up and some support those that are going up. And notice, if you would, in chapter 2, look at verse 69. Chapter 2, verse 69. And notice what it says. They gave after their what? Say it. Say it again. They gave after their what? It didn't say nobody gave. Everybody gave after their ability. Let me make a statement to you. This building banquet coming up, there ought to be 100% participation. I mean, 100% of you ought to give according to your ability. You say, I don't have anything to give. You're lying to God. You do have an ability to give. No, you don't know. You don't understand. I can't make it. We can't make it how we are. Hey, everybody has the ability to give because it's a principle. He just said they wanted to know in Cambodia, tell it to a straight. And the straight truth is everybody has the ability to give something. It's just a matter of whether it's a priority or not. You say, I can't give. Let's walk through your house and see what we can get rid of and sell. Come on, is that right? Well, no, I can't sell. That's important to me. No, no, you have the ability to give. Don't tell me you don't have stuff. I'm not trying to rip it from you. I'm just saying everybody has the ability to give. I heard them, the children came up with their change. Everybody has the ability to give. You're taking up a collection as far as just going around getting cans and bottles. Somebody had the ability to give. Come on, are we still with us? They gave after their ability. And then what's the principle? What happened later? Well, the principle is when they gave after their ability, then men gave into their bosom. You say, where did that happen? Look at chapter number 6. Chapter number 6. After they had given according to their ability, and there was a time period when the work stopped and they got started again under the prophesying of Haggai, it says this in chapter 6, verse 7. Let the work of the house of God alone. Let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews build this house of God in his place. Moreover, I make a decree, what ye shall do of the elders, or of the do the elders of the Jews for the building of the house of God, that of the, say it, king's goods, even of the tribute beyond the river, forthwith expenses be given unto these men. You say, what happened? God saw their giving, and he said, all right, now that you started giving, I'm going to have men give into your bosom. And we're going into the king's treasury. We'll just take some from the king. I'll just turn and twist the heart of the king. No problem. Hey, look up here. Hasn't God twisted the heart of the city council to give you permission? Even under opposition, didn't God twist the hearts of the council to vote 7-0 to give you the opportunity to do this? Didn't God bring the support of some unusual people alongside to let you do this? You ought to be excited that your children are part of this. Their faith is building, and they are beginning to believe more and more, not only in Christ, but in Christianity. They're seeing it happen. Well, if God can do that, he could give you favor to put this all together financially. Now I want to show you ladies something, and I want the men to listen along. Because sometimes ladies kind of feel like, well, you know, I feel a little left out in this whole thing. But I want you to see something tonight along the lines of this principle. Take your Bible and turn to 2 Kings 4. 2 Kings 4. And you men, listen along, and don't miss this, please. What's the principle? Well, we give, and it shall be given unto us, and God wants to make a distinction. And in the land of Goshen, he can still have things going on regardless of the economy. 2 Kings chapter 4. You know this lady. Certainly you've heard him. You've heard this lady preach about, but I want you to watch carefully. And notice 2 Kings 4 verse 8. Fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where there was a great woman. And notice what she did. She constrained him to eat bread. That means she wouldn't let him go, and she just kept kind of persuasive, saying, you know, come on and stay and eat. And it was so, as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. Look up here. She gave what she had to give. What was it? A meal. The man of God would pass by and she'd cook for him. But she was giving towards God. Are you still with me? And then she thought, you know, she went to her husband and said, you know what, let's make a little place for him to stay. I just don't want to feed him. I want to take care of him. She said, I perceive in verse 9 that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually. So she said, you know, let's make a little chamber. You know who did that work? That woman put that together. Well, we'll just set him a little bed, a little table, a little stool, a little candlestick, and as often he comes by, he can turn in thither. Look up here. She was giving what she had to give. She was giving hospitality. She was giving one word that he says later. Notice verse 13. This is the prophet saying, he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this. Say the word. You know what she gave? She gave care. Let me say it again. Look up here. She gave care. She gave food. She gave a bed. She gave a little candlestick. She cleaned up after him. Every time he came by, his little room was ready to go. She gave care. God gave her a son. The son dies. The son is brought back to life. But look at chapter number 8. Chapter number 8. Everybody still all right? Say amen. Amen. Chapter 8, look at verse 1. Then spake Elisha unto the woman. This is the Shunammite woman, that great woman. Elijah speaks unto her. whose son he had restored to life. I didn't go through the whole story. I just told you the son had died. She said, it shall be well. She goes, falls down at the feet of the prophet. The prophet comes in, lays himself, and the son's raised to life. And so Elijah says to the woman, it's the Shunammite woman who restored her life, saying, arise and go out, go thou and thine household. Sojourn wherever thou canst, sojourn, for the Lord hath called for a famine. Says it'll be come upon the land 7 years. And so she arose, took her family, went down to the land of the Philistines. For 7 years she's down there. And I watch what you see. It's one of those that just so happened. Verse 4. And the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God. Remember the one that got leprosy in Naaman's place? Tell me, I pray thee, all the great things that Elisha had done. And it came to pass that he was telling the king how he had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life cried to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman. This is her son. And when the king asked the woman, she told him, so that the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, watch, restore all that was hers, and all the fruits of the field since the day that she left the land, even till now. What happened? Men gave into her bosom. The king gave back not only her land, but the fruits of the harvest. That'd be like 7 years' pay. Why? Because she gave care. She gave a little food. She gave a little place to stay. Look up here. She gave what she had. And when she gave it, God gave back to her through the king. God gave her a son, restored the son back to life. Great grief and heartache. But it was because of that that her family was taken care of probably the rest of her life. And all she gave was what she had to give. Look up here. They gave after their ability. And don't look and say, I have nothing to give. Yes, you do. There's a work party coming up to give to this week. Hey, what are you going to do? Stay home and watch sports? Or come down and give an hour to the work party? They'll have plenty show up. Why don't you give what you can? See what God will give back to you. And then once he gives it to you, make sure you give it back again. Come on, is that right? Hey, all through this Bible, God can create certain situations. Like, for example, the famine's there and the woman's getting ready to, take the little bit of cake that she has left and two sticks and make final the meal for her little son. And then they're going to die and the prophet says, make me one first. And after that, she's taken care of. Over and over and over in the Bible, this happens. Brethren, this is the same God. The same God that says, I'm going to make a distinction between the world and my people, between the world and the church in the wilderness. I'm going to let everybody know that I'm God. He still does the same stuff today. And isn't it something all the building has stopped? The housing market has stopped. New housing startups has stopped. Commercial buildings, some of them are sitting empty. And here you are getting to raise up a 40,000 square foot complex. Brethren, you're dwelling in Goshen. And by the way, you're not the only ones getting that. I'll drive back home tomorrow. And when I drive back home, there's a church, just brand new church being started in Laguna Niguel. And then I'll drive by and down in Fallbrook, there's another restart of another church starting next month. And then down in San Marcos this July, there's another church starting up. Brethren, we're in a great opportunity out here where churches are being planted. You can go north, south, east, or west from your location, and there's churches being planted in every direction. Why? Because God's not restrained by our economy. You need to believe that. And don't get all down and depressed. Our hope, we pray for those in Washington. I do. I respect and honor those in Washington. You should too. Don't get all down on the Democrats. They're not, look, they're not God. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about where they're going to mess everything up. Didn't look like the Republicans did that good a job either. You've been listening to Rush Limbaugh too much. Read your Bible. You still listening to me? I know what I voted for. I know who I voted for. But now we pray for those who've been elected. I'm not going to mess everything up. Live in Goshen and don't worry about it. Live over where the lights are on and everything's fine and pray for those over on the other side. Things can go well. You say, well, it's not going well for me yet. Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together. Wait a minute. Shall men give unto you? I have nothing to give. How about a little care at a table when a prophet walks by? You see, God notices not just monetary. He notices service. And if your church will serve this community, which it has and will. What do you mean serve this community? Take the gospel out, get the seed out of the barn, and get it into this community. God will take care of your church. Because you're caring about his things. Well, I just don't see how it works out. Well, you go out and do your witnessing and your soul winning, look up here and run your buses, and God will pay you for doing that. It's care. It's service. All you're doing is making a bigger profits chamber. You say, what do you mean? You're just setting up a little bed and a little candlestick and a little stool, a little table for people to come in and get the gospel, to be cared for. Did you hear what I said? You say, what's that 40,000, 45,000 foot building? It's just a little speck in the middle of a great city where people can come in and get cared for. And God will pay for it. But he'll pay for it through you and your sacrifice, and then you'll get blessed for doing it. That's the message. Man, I thought you'd say something funny. I heard a joke 2 years ago, but I forgot it. It was a pretty good one, too. I just can't remember. I mean, really, it was a good one. I even laughed. And I'm not against humor. I think it's great. But it's just not me. One more scripture. And then we'll have prayer. Say, what are we going to pray for? Goshen Baptist Church. We're dwelling in Goshen, man. No, you say, we're dwelling in Beulah land. Call it whatever you want. It's all the same. When God's in it, it's just different. Look at 1 Chronicles 29. Watch it and we're done. 1 Chronicles 29. It's just a little thought. Say, man, I never thought about all I do is just give some care. Come on, just get down here and serve. 1 Chronicles 29. So here's a little thought that David had about the giving. And they were getting ready for the temple to be built. And they had been giving and giving. And look at verse 14. David says this, but who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Would you underline the word able? Who am I and what is my people that we should be able? Like they gave after their ability. But who gives us the ability and who enables us? And I'm going to suggest to you that God enables us to be able to offer willingly. And all we're doing, look up here, is he miraculously has somebody give it to us and we work. And then all we do is give back what he's given to us, and it just keeps doing that all our life. You say, no, I work hard for my money. But he gave you the ability. He enabled you. He gave you the power to get wealth. And now he wants us to do is give it back, to set up a little bit bigger chamber so more people can stop in and be cared for, and God will just keep blessing. Now I'm excited for y'all. You should be too. But the economy, but God. But Washington, but God. But the Democrats, but God. Those Egyptians, Goshen. We're living differently than they're living. And they should take notice. And be careful. Watch some of them want to come in at your open house and just see what went up. And watch the neighborhood. Look up here. Watch the neighbors come in to see what they supported. And they approved of going up. He said, not all the neighbors. A lot of the neighbors right around here are for you. You know what's amazing? All this and no parking. That's not supposed to happen. You're not supposed to get a permit and not have parking. That's not supposed to happen. But God did it up at Brother Treber's church. Now God's done it down here. And that's a great model for the rest of us. Every rule, God can bend the heart of the rule makers for his church. And our children are listening and learning that and watching. And make sure they understand, and you tell them as they grow older. Some of them are 3 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 10 now. Make sure when they're 16, 18, 20 that you tell them what happened back here. Make sure you rehearse it before them, so they can live in Goshen too. I think you guys are doing great. I really do. I'm so glad the environmentalists didn't stop you. So evidently they tried a little bit. But God sent somebody to help you. He's always got somebody that can show up. And sometimes they don't even know they're on his side. Is that right? You could just stand amazed and said, some of these people don't even know what they're doing. They're just, God's just turning them our way. Well, look, if he can give Israel favor in the eyes of the Egyptians who used to oppress them as slaves, he can still do that today. Now look up here. They were slaves. They were treated poorly. Their children were being killed by these Egyptians who later God gave them favor. And they didn't know it, but they were helping to build a tabernacle. I think it's neat to see God do that. Just don't miss it. This is just not pastors standing up here and saying, we got to give. This is God working behind the scenes. This is God turning the neighborhood's heart your way. This is God turning the city council dish your way. This is God turning people who used to oppose you your way. But it's not to make you look good. It's for his work. It's because you got a college and you're going to plant churches and you got a heart for so many different kinds of people. And I walk down that hallway and see all those missionaries supported. Come on. You're doing the work of the Lord, and God says, I'm going to keep supporting my church. And I'm going to remind you this last thing. The Lord said, I will build my church. You're building nothing. God is building it through you. Without him, we can do, say it, nothing. It's God that gives the increase. God said, I will build my church. We are just little servants, but he does the building. So we don't have to think of ourselves as anything great. Just bring in your care, bring in your bottles, bring in your change, bring in your increase. Do it by faith. Sell this, sell that, and watch this go forward. And you say, what will I get out of it? What did the Shunammite woman get? First of all, she got something that she never would have thought she would have ever got. Elisha came to her and said, what shall we do for her? And you know what she said? Look up here. She said, I dwell among my own people. You know what she said? I don't need anything. And Gehazi said, she hath old, and her husband hath old, and she hath not a son. And God gave her a son. Son died, restored back to life, goes down in the land, famine, comes back up. God gives her her house back. By the way, in 7 years, it was already taken over by somebody else. And the king also said to a certain officer, make sure she gets all the increase for 7 years. That certain officer was assigned to her and her family to take care of that boy that God had miraculously given her. Why don't you take care of the church and watch God take care of your children and your grandchildren? Looks like you need more school classrooms, kind of a nicer campus, a safer campus. You say, what do you mean, safer campus? If you have a big building and it's all enclosed, that's pretty safe. It'd be nice for them to have a gymnasium. Take care of God's business. Watch him take care of your children and grandchildren just because you do a little care. Did you get the message? Well, there wasn't much shouting. We'll shout when the building goes up. You can shout later. Tonight, let's pray that God would honor the principle of Goshen here. God, we want to be blessed by you so this community knows there's a difference, a marked difference between what's going on out there and what's going on this corner of what, Magnolia and 33rd or something like that, wherever we're at. Get rid of the historical house. Get rid of the other house. Level it. Get rid of that basketball court. Oh, but we enjoyed that so much. So take a chunk of asphalt home with you. Get rid of it. Build this thing up. And watch what God does in taking care of what's yours. I believe he's going to do that. And I'm excited for you. And thank you for the model and the example for the rest of us here in California to see. Because others are watching and are being blessed by what you're doing. Let's stand. Preacher, can I just turn it over to you?